18, please. 18th chapter, book of Acts. Going to finish up, and actually we read where Paul ended his second missionary journey and begins his third in the passage that we're reading this morning, verses 19 through 23. So if you'll find it there, Acts chapter 18 and verses 19 through 23. Been preaching through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul on Sunday mornings. This ends the first one, begins the third one all together here in these verses. Let's stand, please, and let's read these responsively. I'll read verse number 19. If you'd please join me on verse 20 and 22, the even-numbered verses. Now, our Bible says, "And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will." Boy, that's a statement you don't hear much anymore, isn't it? The Lord will, if the Lord wills. The Lord willing. That's a good statement. If God wills. And he sailed from Ephesus, verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Dear Father, add your blessing, please, to our reading this morning. And I pray that as we get into the Bible in just a moment, that you'll please give us a liberty that only the Spirit of God can provide. May there, Lord, be no distractions. May we be concentrating on what do you have for us this morning. May we be ready, Lord, with all readiness of mind to receive the good seed of God's Word. May it do something in our hearts and lives that changes us a little bit today, or helps us, motivates us, builds us in grace. And I'll thank you for it. Bless the song, the message of the song, and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I cannot understand what's mine.
Wonderful song. Amen. You spend a lifetime trying to convince some people of the truth of that song. I guarantee it, friend, if you'll just pay attention and go that way, you'll find out there's a lot of truth in that. God's way is the best way. Wonderful singing today. I want to speak on this subject, a necessary part of God's program. A necessary part of God's program. Verse number 23. I want you to notice there, he departed, Paul did, after he spent some time with the church in Antioch. That's his sending church. Brother Jeff, your sending church is a church in Manitoba. Pemina Baptist, right, okay. And Winkler there, right? And this is Antioch, was Paul's sending church, Acts 13. And he said he'd spent some time there. He departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order. And here's my message this morning. Strengthening all the disciples. Strengthening all the disciples. That's a necessary part of God's program. Strengthening all the disciples. That's not in here by accident. It's not the first time it's been in the Bible. It's not the first time we looked at it in the book of Acts on these missionary journeys. Strengthening all the disciples. A necessary part of God's program. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. I don't really have to preach, Lord, to get a blessing out of this service. My heart's been full already. I rejoice, Lord, in all that I have taken in these last several minutes since we sang the first opener at 11 o'clock here just a little while ago. I don't want to do anything to hinder your working. I don't want to do anything to hinder the spirit of the service. Help me, dear Lord, to come right in here with the message. May it be a blessing. And may you speak to our hearts. Give us grace and power as we preach. In Jesus' name, and amen. After Paul left Corinth, he went by boat to Syria. I'm just capsizing all the verses we read here, and even some that preceded the verses we read. He stopped at Ephesus after his boat ride. He was there briefly. And then he took the boat on to Judea. That was a longer boat trip. He docked at Caesarea. He checked on the church that was there. And then the Bible tells us that he went to Antioch. As I said, that was his sending church. If you go back sometime in your reading to Acts 13, that's the church that sent Paul and Barnabas, the church at Antioch there. So Paul went back to his home church. Now, he spent some time there. Verse 22 ends his second missionary journey. If you keep in notes, his second missionary journey ends at verse 22 because he's back home. All right? He's back to the place that sent him out. And he's going to be there for a little while. And now the Bible says in verse number 23, after he had spent some time there, he departed. And he went through all the country of Galatia and Phrygia. Now, verse 23 begins his third missionary journey. I want you to notice that the purpose of this third missionary journey, the Bible says, was strengthening all the disciples. That's why Paul went. Strengthening all the disciples. This trip, geographically speaking, was very similar to his second journey. He revisited many and most of the same churches that he went to or began on his second missionary journey. I am sure that along the way, Paul won some people to the Lord. I'm sure he witnessed. He witnessed to everybody from the palace to the prison. Paul was a soul winner. He was a witness for the Lord. I'm sure that he got some churches started. But God, in His Word, put here at the beginning of this trip that Paul's ministry was involved this time in strengthening all the disciples. Strengthening all the disciples. The word strengthen here means to support further. To reestablish. So Paul is going to go back to places he's been before. Back to people that have been saved, churches that have been started, and he's going to support them further. He's going to reestablish those people. Now, folks, listen very carefully. Every child of God needs to be strengthened. Every child of God needs to be reestablished over and over and over again in our Christian walk. You need to be strengthened. You need to be re-supported. You need to be reestablished concerning the faith. This is a duty that many pastors and churches neglect in the ministry today. It's, you know, we would rather have, and I'm not saying we're not in this to win souls and see folks baptized, but those are the numbers that catch everybody's attention. the number of people saved and the number of people baptized. We don't report numbers. I'm not against those that do. I suppose God is interested in numbers. We know what they are. God has been very good to us this summer. Amen? Very good to us. But a lot of people get caught up in the number part of winning souls and seeing folks baptized. We often overlook this necessary part of God's program, strengthening those who have been saved, building disciples. We're not here just to gather a crowd. A church is a place to build followers of Jesus Christ. You can have a crowd and have 10% of it disciples. I don't want that. I'd like to have a good crowd and have 80% of the people in that crowd following Jesus Christ. This is our purpose, building followers of Christ. Friend, if we're going to reach the world, we're going to have to learn how to follow Christ. Not just gather a crowd. You can gather it with enough money and the right buttons to push, you can gather a crowd. You can do that. You can gather a crowd. I'm not against crowds. I'm not against that. But there's more to it than that. There's building disciples of Jesus, strengthening them. Jesus put this part of his program. It was included in the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world, teach people how to be saved. That's number one. You can't strengthen people who aren't saved. So you've got to get them saved first. Then he said, two, baptize them. Now, friend, out of all the things that you do in the Christian life, Jesus put baptism in that Great Commission. That's a vital part of your Christian growth. That identification with Jesus, that obedience, that following him in believer's baptism. You say, I was baptized as a child, as a baby. I was sprinkled. Number one, it was the wrong mode. And number two, it was the wrong time. The word baptize means immerse. It's hard to immerse somebody by sprinkling. Okay? And baptism always succeeds salvation, never precedes it. It's like, getting baptized before you get saved is like a two-year-old wearing a wedding ring. It may look nice, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. Okay? That being baptized identifies you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus put that in the Great Commission. Then, the third part of this Great Commission was you teach those people that have been saved and baptized. You teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That third part is where the reestablishing comes in. That's where the strengthening comes in. Teach them Bible truth. Teach them Bible doctrine. Teach them principles of life that will help them in their marriage, their families, with their children. Build followers of Jesus Christ. I said a few Wednesday nights ago that the Christian life is a war. And it is. It's a battle. It's a fight. Because of that, the people of God need to be strong. Christian growth ought to take place in our life. That's why we need to be strong so that we can grow. And then along the way, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. There's going to be valleys that we have to walk through. For that reason, we need to be strong. It's significant that every believer be reestablished, strengthened, supported in the faith. Let me say this morning. Being strong as a child of God has nothing to do with muscle size. It has nothing to do with body fat. Nothing whatsoever. It has nothing to do with the body whatsoever. It has everything to do with your inner man. That inner person that's moved into you when you got saved. That new nature that was made alive. You were born again with a new nature that's alive to God. And that nature needs to be strong. That nature needs to be strengthened. That nature has nothing to do with muscles. I told the fellows upstairs, I don't care how many reps you can do on a bench press, how much weight you can lift, how many curls, so for the isometrics, all the other aerobics types. I'm not against exercise. Did some this morning. Talk about it just a little bit that I did this week. But the strength we're talking about here is strength in the inner man. Being a strong person, a follower of Jesus Christ. So how do you strengthen disciples? That's what Paul set out to do. Those that are following Christ, how do you strengthen them? How do you reestablish them? How do you support them? How do you make people strong? How do you get folks interested in being strong Christians? Let me give you three ways this morning found in the Bible, okay? Some of them are obvious. A couple of them are obvious. Maybe one of them you hadn't thought about. Look at Acts chapter 15. Turn back a few pages. Here's number one. You strengthen disciples through preaching. You strengthen disciples through preaching. Now, I know we've talked about this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. I will not be on this point long, but I want to just reestablish it once again. Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 30. The Bible says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation." Now look at verse 32. "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." That word confirmed is your word reestablished. That word confirmed is your word strengthened. That word confirmed is your word support. The Bible says these two preachers with many words. I like that. I think the Bible is for long preaching. Amen. That Bible doesn't say with few words, brother. That Bible says with many words. Amen. Yes, sir. You get out at noon, you can't get many words in by noon. Amen. It usually takes till 10 after 12 to get many words in for me on Sunday morning. So that's when we'll get out, just a little bit. He said, "With many," the Bible says, Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words. Both these men were preachers. Look down at verse number 40, same chapter. "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And when he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." There's the word strengthen. There's the word support. There's the word reestablish. Folks, there is nothing that will strengthen your Christian life like the preaching of God's Word. I mean, there's just something about it. The preaching of the Word of God. Over and over again, all through this book, preachers were used to strengthen God's people. In fact, if we need strengthening, then we must have a tendency to get weak. And if you're honest, you have to say to yourself or out loud, that's right. We have a tendency to get weak. That's the reason there's a need. Why would God have us do something if there was no need for it? He's not a chaotic God. He's not a careless God. He's not a vain and empty God. There's nothing that God expects and commands us to do that doesn't have some reason or some purpose for it. We have a tendency to weaken. We have a tendency to get weak in the faith. And so God has established certain things to help build us. One of the things is the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God is food to a weakened soul. It is pure water to a thirsty soul. There's nothing like a good meal to wash down by a big old glass of cold water or cold milk. Man, that energizes a weary person. I told the fellows about Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and how he was involved in that tremendous battle over there against the Philistines. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, more foot soldiers than they could number. And Jonathan and his armor bearer defeated the whole bunch through the help of God's earthquake. And Jonathan was famished. And the Bible says that when he came into the wood, he found a honeycomb. He reached his hand in, he took some honey, and he ate of that honeycomb. And the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. He was strengthened. I mean, it brought some vitality. It brought some energy. It brought some strength to his weary body. That's exactly what the Word of God does for your soul and your spirit. It strengthens you. It revitalizes you. We're not spiritual energizer bunnies. Nobody in this room is. I'm not a spiritual energizer bunny. You're not a spiritual energizer bunny. Nobody pushes a button and just goes forever. Nobody does that in the faith. All of us, the batteries start to... And it takes the preaching of God's Word to recharge us. Recharge us. We get wearied. We need to be refreshed. I like the word. I like the definition, reestablish. I like that. It makes my job easy as a preacher. That's the truth of the matter. Even those that have been saved a long time need to hear the same old truths preached over and over and over and over again. And preachers need to be content to do that. You know, when we get ourselves in trouble as preachers, we get ourselves in trouble when we start looking for something new to tweak everybody's attention, maybe to create some kind of stir. So we look for something new and we want to find something. Usually when we found something new, it's in error. It's false. Because there's nothing new under the sun. This truth is as old as God gave it back in the book of Genesis and so forth. Pastors just need to be content to preach the same truths over and 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 over. And you know what, church? You don't need to grow tired of it. You don't need to cross your arms and say, well, I've heard that before. That's the wrong attitude. That's what the Bible talks about doing. Strengthening disciples. Reestablish. Go over it and go over it and go over it and go over it. God's people need to hear and rehear and hear again and hear again the old truths. But that makes the job of a pastor much easier. Just open that Bible and preach. You know, Dr. Howes, when I was in Bible college, he taught us preacher boys. He said, fellas, he said, I have 20 subjects on a piece of paper, 1 through 20, 20 of them. And he said, I check and monitor my preaching. He said, I believe there are 20 truths that are vital to the Christian life. And he said, my sermons are built around those 20 truths. Those 20 truths. For how many years? Over 40 years at the pulpit of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, he preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached the old truths. And some of you folks that are sitting in here today received it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's nothing new. Don't look for anything new. Anything new is probably wrong. Just stay with the old time truth. Amen. We have 4 public preaching times a week here at Faith Baptist Church. You got a Sunday school class where the Word of God is taught or preached. We have Sunday morning. We have Sunday night. We have Wednesday night. If you're interested in being a strong Christian, be in as many of those as you can be. Be in all of them if you can. Because, friend, there's nothing like the preaching of the Word. I really believe, I say this often in talking to people. If I give my testimony, I say, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ saved me, washed my sins away, forgave me of my debt, and paid the penalty of sin's price for me, and Jesus saved me. But it's this book right here that changed my life. This book changed my life. It's the preaching of the Word of God changed my life. I mean, changed my life. And I don't mean for the worse. I mean for the better, because as they say, God's way is the best way. Man, I sat under preaching, sometimes forced to, many times just because I wanted to. Times when I wasn't supposed to be necessarily at a preaching service, I went anyway. I could not get enough of it. Man, every time I went, it seems like something was said that the Spirit of God used just to stir me and mold me and change me and recharge my batteries for the Lord. And the preaching still does that today. Still does it today. You strengthen disciples through preaching. That's one way you do it. But let me move on. I didn't want to stay on that one too long. Number 2, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go over here in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn to your right if you're getting familiar with your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a significant passage because the church at Thessalonica was started by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. We looked at it. So now he's writing back to the people that are in the church that he started. Look at verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what it says here. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now, folks, watch me here just for a minute. Give me a second. Here is Philippi. Here is Thessalonica. And here is Berea. And then here is Athens. This city is in the country of Achaia. These cities are in the country of Macedonia. Okay? So look at verse 1 now. He says, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Paul is here. You watching me? Paul is here. Thessalonica is back there. It's only one city removed from where he had been. He came from Thessalonica to Berea, then he came to Athens. That's a young church. That's a new church. It's not that old in the faith. It's a new church. It was started on his second missionary journey. He's moved from Thessalonica to Berea. Now he's in Athens, same journey. And back here, look what he says. He said, I couldn't stand it. When I was at Athens, I couldn't stand it. So I stayed in Athens by myself. And look what it says here. And sent Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Look at the next word. To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now watch me. This just unfolds to you if you'll pay attention. Paul is here. He's got this church going, Thessalonica. It's a bunch of new Christians, baby Christians. He goes to Berea, spends a little time there. He goes to Athens, and he's here. When he's at Athens, he hears that some of the new Christians in Thessalonica are going through difficulties. They're going through hard times. Paul said, I couldn't stand it. I had to know how you were doing. He said, so I stayed in Athens, and I sent Timothy, my fellow helper and my fellow minister of the gospel, I sent Timothy to Thessalonica to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why? Because when new Christians get started in the Christian life, there's things you don't understand, there's things you experience, there's things that, man, I don't get this, and you need to be reestablished in the Christian faith. And you do that, number two, through personal discipleship. You do it through personal discipleship. You do it through preaching, and you do it through personal discipleship. Paul sent Timothy personally, his emissary, his ambassador, his envoy. Paul sent Timothy to this church to personally disciple these young Christians. This is a necessary part of getting strong in the faith. There is something helpful, listen, to a new Christian to learn in a setting that is designed specifically to strengthen new Christians. Let me ask you a question this morning. How profitable would it be to take a baby to visit a training room? The Bears are in town now. And I'm sure over here at Olivet Nazarene University, they've got a training room. They've got a weight room. Okay? It's part of their regimen. How profitable would it be to take your newborn baby there? How profitable to that baby would it be to take your 3 or 4 month baby there? Take your baby in there. Here's all the machines necessary. Here's the universal gyms. Here's the treadmills. Here's this. Here's that. All these machines, all these equipment here designed to build your strength. And you take a baby over there to take part in that. How much is it going to benefit that baby? Zero. That baby's going to get no benefit from that weight room. But listen, there are specific items you can get that are designed to help strengthen a newborn or a toddler. Ben and Ashley stopped by Monday and Tuesday. And little McKenna is now, let's see, April, May, June, July. April, she's 4 months old. And so we sat her on the kitchen table there. And my wife said, here is what Dr. Maxwell, some of you folks that lived out in Iowa, remember Dr. Maxwell, Iowa City. He pediatrician for 4 of our children. And McKenna was sitting there, and my wife grabbed McKenna's little hands, and she stood her up and began just ever so carefully to pull her, and the little feet kind of walked along. She's not walking, but I saw Ashley going, you know, her eyes were wide. And then my wife sat her down and said, Dr. Maxwell did that to all of our kids. Whenever I took the kids back for a checkup, so many months old, Dr. Maxwell would sit them on the table. He'd take their little hands. He'd stand them up, and their little legs would start to do this. There are certain little things you can do to help strengthen a baby for walking. Now, listen, friend, when you don't take a baby to a weight room and see how much they can bench press. Here you go. Here's the dumbbells. No, you're wrong. There is a dumbbell in that room, but it's not the dumbbell. Huh? It doesn't help the baby. It's all good and fine, but it doesn't do anything for the baby. Now listen, when you get saved, you are a newborn child of God. A newborn child of God. The services, the preaching will help you, but there are some specific, fundamental, basic truths that are absolutely necessary for growth. As a newborn Christian, you need to hear those fundamental core truths. And many times, this happens through a specific class that is designed for those who are newly saved. We have one here. It's called a discipleship class. It meets at 5:30 on Sunday night. Brother Caleb is the instructor. And for these weeks, he's had adult people in there who are either new to an independent Baptist church or newly saved. And Brother Caleb doesn't teach them the bench press. He doesn't teach them the curl or the lift, whatever you call all those exercises. It's too heavy for newborn Christians. He teaches them the little step, the little basic step. Look, grandparents don't sit around and wait for their kids to call about grandkids and say, hey, dad, guess what? Max ran today. What? He ran? You don't sit around and wait for your child to run. You sit around and wait for your child to what? Walk. The truth of the matter is, you sit around and wait for them to start to crawl first. And then pull themselves up. And then begin to take those steps as they get around things. And then they take off on their own. Look, there is a reason why God uses the analogy, the illustration of a little baby growing up to adulthood to picture the Christian life. There's a reason for that. It's starting out as a newborn child of God, crawling, standing, walking, and then walk, and then someday running. But there's an order to that. There's a set pattern for that, friend. Babies don't stand up and run. Babies stand up and walk. And this is what discipleship is designed to do. A discipleship class helps you take your first spiritual steps. It teaches you why you need to get baptized, what the purpose in it, why you were baptized. It teaches you about this and about that, the basic steps of Christian life. And I'm talking to a handful, more than a handful. I'm talking to probably a dozen, 15 people here this morning. You do yourself a favor to get into discipleship class. You build your Christian life. You build some strength to be in that class. And by the way, we should desire to grow. God wants us to. You know, no parent says six years after the baby's born, no parent, how's your kid doing? Oh, just fine. He's wearing size 24 months now. What? Well, isn't he 6 years old? Oh, yeah, but we don't care if he grows. Yes, you do. You care if those children grow. If they don't, you run to the doctor, find out what's wrong. And this is how it is in the Christian life. God wants us to grow. You have a desire to grow. Feed that desire. One of the best ways to strengthen disciples is to get them established in a discipleship class. When I first got saved, I told you about the preaching services. But I'll tell you about something more than that. There's a man named Tony Keelan. I went soul winning at the church. Brother Mike let us go, two or three of us that were older. He said, you know, you boys have showed a little responsibility. He said, you go soul winning with the church if you want to. And Tony Keelan, that first night, took me under his arm, and he took me soul winning. And I think it was more than just soul winning. It was personal discipleship. He taught me. He talked to me. He taught me. He talked to me every Monday night for an hour and a half, man. I had a one-on-one session with Tony Keelan, who was a seasoned man of God, seasoned man in the faith. He taught me. I look back on that now, probably underestimating how valuable that was in my early days as a child of God. Personal discipleship. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to go back to Thessalonica and I want you to reestablish. I want you to establish those new Christians. Get them grounded in the faith. Get their roots sunk deep in the Bible. Teach them the truth and tell them not to let those afflictions, those difficulties that they're facing, tell them not to let them move them. Tell them to be strong. You disciple people through preaching and you disciple people through personal discipleship. That's how you strengthen people. Some of you do yourself a favor to take that class. I'm serious. I can point to them, people sitting in the room this morning who went through whatever it is, 13 weeks, 15 weeks. They got the certificate that they passed the class. They're still in church. I have dealt personally with some of them, have proven themselves to be very, very mature for young Christians coming out of that discipleship class. It'll do you a world of good. That's how you can get strong in the Christian faith. Through preaching and through personal discipleship. And then let me give you the last one this morning. Look over at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 in your Bible here. Luke chapter 22. You're interested in that class? You see Brother Caleb, you talk to him about it. He'll give you all the details. Anybody that sat under Brother Caleb enjoys that man. He is a bundle of enthusiasm. Amen. Luke chapter 22. Here's the third way that you can strengthen disciples. Build believers. Luke 22 verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know how you can build, how you can strengthen disciples? Through past experiences of others. Through past experiences of others. Let me tell you what happened here. Jesus told Peter flat out, he was honest with him, he said, Peter, Satan wants you. And I'm not going to deliver you from Satan. Satan wants to grind you, sift you. Ladies, remember the old flour sifters? When you used to make biscuits that didn't come out of a can? Amen. You used to make those homemade pie crusts. Well, I don't even know if we have a flour sifter anymore, do we? We don't have a flour sifter anymore. Okay. That probably wasn't a good time to say that, but we don't have flour sifters. Oh, boy. Okay. Remember those flour sifters? Huh? Sifting that flour out. That's what Satan wanted to do to Peter. You know what Jesus said? I'm going to let him do it. I'm going to let him do it. He didn't take Peter away from the trial. He didn't take Peter out of the sifter. He said, you're going through the sifter. He said, tell you what, I'm going to pray for you. That's powerful right there. The fact that Jesus would pray for you, pray for me. Peter, I'm going to pray for you. When you come out of that sifter, you're going to be able to strengthen your brethren. You're going to go through something, and I'm going to pray that your faith doesn't fail. And on the other side of that trial, I want you to help other people. And by the way, he did. He became one of the pillars of the church in the book of Acts. And when he wrote his book, 1 Peter, he wrote about the trials. The fiery trials. I guess he could write about it. He'd been there. And you know what God does? God lets me and God lets you go through the sifter every now and again for the express purpose on the other side to strengthen some other believer. Strengthen some other disciple. I want to tell you something, friend. There is something about looking at a human being eyeball to eyeball and hearing or taking a good book that is a story about another human being. And there are stories in this Bible about human beings that'll bless you. Past experiences of folks in this book. And then there are biographies that'll bless you and help you. You're facing something in the Christian life and you read this story in this book and you go, man, this guy made it. He's facing the same thing I'm facing. This is what he learned. Now I can benefit from this. There's something about hearing the past experiences of others. You know, Peter was that way. He could tell folks. He could help people with their trial because he had been through it. I want to tell you something. There's people in this room right here that can help you with difficulty. You know why? Because they've been through it. They've been through it. They've been through the... You know, I didn't plan to say this, but I believe the Lord be in it. You know, Brother Tom Fisher, we asked for blessings upstairs this morning and before we prayed, who has a blessing to share? Several of the men had a testimony of blessing this week. And Tom began to share a blessing about how God just, man, did God do something good for them this week. Just amazing for Tom. I want to tell you something. That man's got, you know where Brother Tom's been for the last about 2 years? I want to tell you something. You look at me very carefully. He's got something to say. He has something to tell you. You get in a difficult time. You think, I can't do this. I can't bring the kids to church by myself. I can't take care of rearing for the Lord myself. Go talk to him. Go visit with him. He's been through the sifter, my friend. Now, I'm not saying Tom's been perfect. Tom's got things he needs to deal with, like all of us do. But I'm going to tell you, he's been through the sifter. Some of you have been through the sifter. You know what? You're on the other side of the sifter now. And you know what? The reason God gave you that experience was so that you could turn around and talk to a young Christian and say, you know what? You can make it. You can make it. You can get through this. I did. Here's what happened. Here's what I did. Here's how I prayed. Here's how I waited on God. Here's how I just gritted my teeth, just hung in there. You can do it. Past experiences of other people will help strengthen you. I read that book on Hudson Taylor, Brother Irvin. It is not death to die. Whew. Good night. What that man faced in his ministry, When I closed the cover of that thing after finishing the last page, I was not only blessed, I felt strengthened. God uses past experiences of other people to strengthen us. Peter, when you get out of the sifter, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Help people. Help somebody else. I'm talking about a necessary part of God's program. Yes, get folks saved. Yes, find people and help them to get follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But then don't just leave them. You don't just take a baby from the hospital and say, here you are, go, tear it up. You strengthen them. You help grow them. It's a necessary part of God's program. You strengthen believers through preaching, through personal discipleship, and through past experience of others. You can strengthen people, and you can get strengthened by being in preaching services, personal discipleship, and talking to people who've been down the road a little bit ahead of you. Amen. A little bit ahead of you. You know, sometimes on Wednesday night, I'll say, this past Wednesday night, I thought that was my mind was tired. Gotten back from the camp at 1 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday and tried to see Ben and Ashley for a little bit. And he called me. He preached in Decatur. I said, how'd it go, son? He said, man, Dad, I was tired. I said, I was too. He said, I said the wrong verses and I'd get the numbers mixed up. I said, I did too. You know, I had people stop me on the way out Wednesday night. 3 or 4 people. Unbelievable. That really helped me. One of them said, you probably took care of 3 weeks of counseling in the service on Wednesday night. That's not me. That's the Spirit of God. That's this book right here. Strengthens you. Makes you strong. You know, y'all, I've talked about it. We helped with Brother Woodward. We talked about doing those deer stands. Talked about building those deer stands 16 feet up in the air. The legs are 16 feet. And the platforms are 4x4 because we're big men. And 16, 18 feet in the air, you don't want to be. Huh? And we'd get that 16 feet, 16 feet of treated lumber and a 4x4 platform made out of 2x6s. That's heavy. And we'd walk that thing up against that tree and get it in position, get the platform, the board and the platform against the big old oak or whatever tree we're putting the stand in. And then, because I'm a little bit smaller than Brother Woodward, it was my job to crawl up the back side of the ladder instead of the front side of the ladder. I'm crawling up the back side of the ladder. The tree's here. And I crawl up there, and here's that board, and I've got a drill. Actually, the pilot hole's already there. We've already drilled the pilot hole. I've got a socket and a ratchet, and I've got a great big old lag screw. Got two of them. Got it tight? Yep. Crawl down the ladder. Back up. Come down. Oh, back up. Crank her some more, buddy, until those lag screws are just in. Finally, you crawl down and say, a strengthening. You don't want to be twisting and turning all through your Christian life. Twisting and turning in the wind, carried about by every wind of doctrine, chase this for a while, chase that for a while, and chase after this for a while. You never make any progress. Strong men until you're established. That was the purpose of this third journey. Strengthening all the disciples. We've got all kinds of people here this morning. We've got disciples who are strong. We've got disciples who are building muscles. We've got disciples who are young in Christ. God's will is for all of us. Crank it down. Be strong in this day and age. Why? How many reasons do you want? One is because it's perilous times. Weak people don't survive perilous times. It takes strong people to survive perilous times. God does that through preaching, through personal discipleship, and through past experiences of others. If we weren't so proud, we could probably look somebody in the eyeball and say, you know what, I know you've been through some things, you could probably help me. Talk to me a little bit.
because God took them through the sifter, brought them out so they could help strengthen you. Amen. Look at me. You think I'm the only person in this church that has the opportunity and the privilege to help people? There's all kinds of solid Christians in here. They got a story of survival. They can help you. Amen. I'd seek it out. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let's start with this. How many here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, heaven is my home. I'm sure of that. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'll be happy to raise my hand and give testimony. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning, all over the room? Thank you. God bless you. Take your hands down. Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized. Let's go back here. I could not raise my hand just then. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure what the word saved means. I'm not sure about being born again. Pray for me. I'm not sure heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here today? God speaking to your heart. Be honest with that and raise your hand. You say, I feel a little uneasy in my heart about that. It could be the Spirit of God talking to you. Side to side, back to front. Anybody here? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm saved, Pastor, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved in deep water. Pray for me. I need to learn about it. I'm interested. I don't want to do wrong. I just need to learn about it. I need to know what it's all about. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Raise your hand, please. Maybe you're here to get baptized, to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Anybody like that here today? If you're here to get baptized, you come now while we wait. And Brother Scott and Linda will help get you ready to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Anybody like that here today? God bless you. See you, boy, coming. God bless you, son. All right, who's here today? Pastor, I want to grow. I need to grow. I have grown. I don't want to grow old, tired of the old truths. I don't want to grow weary of the old principles. I need to hear them. I need to be reestablished. I need to be strengthened. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart today. My heart's desire is to run the race He has for me and be that strong Christian, that disciple, established. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the room this morning? May God help us to do that. Amen. Our Father, I thank You so much for the privilege to preach the Bible this morning and for receptive people to sit and listen. Lord, I thank You that we had liberty today to preach, and I pray, Lord, that You'll please take the principles and truths found in this book, minister to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here unsaved, that today would be the day they'd come to Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who needs to be baptized and follow You, that, Lord, they'd be willing to do so. Thank You for this one who's come already. And then, Lord, there were many hands that went up. I want to be strong. I want to grow. I want to run the race. Lord, in order to run, we've got to first walk. We've got to take those steps. So, Lord, bless us this morning. Give us that strengthening that we all need, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, we'll play a song of invitation. Take your response for you. As the Spirit of the Lord leads you this morning. Would you come? Any hands were raised, would you come this morning? Tell the Lord Jesus. Tell God the Father. I want to grow. I want to be that strong person. I need the preaching. I need the discipleship. I need it. Would you come? While we wait this morning, would you come?